Peter always requests I'm dropping in a little thought provoker at the end, which is in a little way contentious, but it's to make people think, what is it we're actually trying to achieve? So in the people who get really excited about technology, last month Wired magazine reviewed one of the mobile ticketing applications that we just launched with Cross Country, who are very committed to mobile ticketing, especially to visual mobile ticketing together with barcode. And they said, fantastic, everyone should do this. No brainer. Especially because it brings live information, live departure boards, and all sorts of other exciting information for the customer, and this final idea that it's going to solve something really exciting. But he's an early adopter. We've got to be very careful. Just because you're launching something which is exciting to you as a technology provider, or exciting to you because you are in transit, it might not be exciting enough for the public. Just because you can do something with technology doesn't mean you should, or that you'll ever get beyond the early adopters. Most people are very stuck in their habits. We are surprised always how much people are stuck in their habits and will do things the old-fashioned way. Even if you've made a massive advert that says, you know, all of the improvements by using some sort of new thing, they'll look at that advert and go, ah, that looks pretty good. And then they'll go straight back to their old way of doing it. So often you'd be surprised. You've got to offer them the new thing when the old thing is broken, when it's painful, when there's something wrong, when they're in the queue. Or you double the price of the old way of doing it, like we did with Oyster. But you can't always double the price of the old thing. So, oh, got no sound. So most people don't spend any time in their normal day looking for ways to change their life. They just get on with going to work. And it's when they get faced with a queue and the opportunity that they might miss their train or miss their meeting, and all they've got is nothing. If you advertise next to the queue and give them the olive branch, you know, you might not even like mobile phones. You might hate them. Most people just use voice and text. But you say, if you're waiting too long, text this number, buy it on your phone, never queue again. And this is the idea that any advert that says what you should have done 2 days ago is register for something and do something online, that's not going to help. Offer them something they can do right now while they're annoyed, so they can give it a go while they're in the queue and keep their place in the queue. So we automatically detect what their phone is, give them their own personal ticket machine, and go from here to here, show them the timetable, show them the price options, take their credit card off them for the first time use, and sell them a human visual ticket and a barcoded ticket for machine reading. Now, they'll keep their place in the queue, and if they got to the front before they completed that, they'd have bought it the old-fashioned way. They'd have gone straight to the machine or the window. But if we solved it before they got to the front of the queue, they'll exit the queue, head to the train, optionally get scanned. But everyone else in the queue benefits as well. Everyone else in the queue gets to the front quicker. So even if you only convert 10% of people, everyone gets to the front 10% quicker. But we only convert them on the day with a queue. But if you gave them an excellent experience, they can go back and repurchase without even joining the queue again. They'll just do it on their way to the station. They'll do it as they cross the station. They might even buy their next ticket while they're sat on the train today for tomorrow. But the idea is you don't revert people when the old way isn't broken. They're not going to do this just for the fun of it most of the time. Most of our users will only change when they have a reason to. So we've seen why we might get a consumer to do it, but just good for the customer is not enough. You have to have a strong reason for why this can be done during the credit crunch. Why you're going to get the financial director excited about this, not just the marketing director, because marketers run very few of our rail companies. So it's all about, we have, despite the recession, an increasing number of passengers on our railways, but we have fixed-size railway stations. Unless we keep adding more ticket windows, more ticket vending machines, maybe rebuilding bits of trouble stations like Cambridge, where currently the queues for the ticket machines go across the exits to the barriers. Without chucking out Marks and Spencers, we can't really make any more room there. So the only way we can cope with expanding number of passengers with a fixed-size train station, getting people to self-serve on their phone is the way. So it's reducing the CapEx and OpEx on people and machines to expand our sales facilities. Hit our franchise commitments on queues, find out where on earth they're going, as well as suddenly being able to offer products that you'd never be able to sell on Magstripe. All of the excitement around shoulder or, in fact, continuously variable pricing during the day, more like airline. The real difference, though, is the cost of engaging on this when we're looking at long-distance rail. it's very expensive to try and network and connect an entire network with hole-in-the-hedge stations left, right and centre and give them communications. Because we don't need to get things reliably online, because we don't need to put scanners everywhere on day zero, we can start just with visual check. It's much cheaper to do barcode. And this has meant that without any government mandate, without being forced to do any mobile ticketing as part of a franchise, we've got a whole bunch of rail companies who are doing it on commercial merit, voluntarily, in the middle of their franchises, in some cases right at the end of their franchise, because it requires so little investment. So we've got some posters from the last few weeks. This is the winner for the biggest poster award goes to Cross Country in Birmingham. At some of the stations, we can now see multiple posters back to back trying to persuade the customer to use the mobile not only as a ticket vending machine, but also the way that they get better live disruption information, part of the Office of Rail Regulations, real targets to mean we don't end up with people leaving home in the snow and then getting to the railway station before they discover it's 2 hours till the next train. We'd rather they were at home. So, what is a mobile ticket? How do we deliver a mobile ticket? And this has moved quite a bit since any of you have seen this previously. So, got the phone, we've got the poster, we're saying, right, we're going to sell you a ticket. We can sell you an old-fashioned Todd picker for old-fashioned routes that don't accept any new forms of ticket. We can sell a barcoded ticket with the machine-readable piece and a human-readable piece, which you can show to guards who don't have scanners. And in the future, you'll also be able to purchase action lists and NFC deliveries for ITSO. The mobile is still the retail point for all of these different ways of delivery. With this one, though, you still have to queue at the station to pick up your tickets. With this one, you have to issue the customer with some plastic beforehand. Or in the case of NFC, you have to pay for access to the NFC element in the phone and make sure that's loaded before you can start sending anything to it. At least with this one, we don't need anything. We just need a phone that definitely has a screen. So we work with RSP and ATOC to set a standard which wasn't only for private barcoded ticketing, but also for something that could be interoperable between many players. The main things we tried to do was get rid of the old-fashioned way of saying everybody has to have a centralized system, everybody has to have guards that are online and have Wi-Fi, and we synchronize everything, because that was where everything fell apart when it went out of the lab and into the real world. However good the idea is of always on 3G broadband, it isn't something that you can run an everyday utility on, because it will go offline. So we designed something that was going to be decentralized and offline, so you can have whole station lines offline for months. You can have guards in tunnels. They don't have to synchronize, and still you can have people purchase. We've used a public-private key system, which means that we don't need to distribute shared keys to everyone. For the non-technologists in the room, it means we don't have to do heavy certification of this system like we would with a smart card scheme. This is something that can be done with off-the-shelf open source software. It means one of the participants managed to make this in a day based on the standard, rather than having to spend a lot of time on it. It's so cheap you can do it with your Skunkworks budgets. And you can share it not only between the transit operators, but third parties. There's room in the UK's barcode standard for rail for you to put a cup of coffee from Starbucks and two adults to Alton Towers, including taking money for it, and give the public keys to check the tickets to the people who make the gates at Alton Towers and the Fred in a shed who do the cash register for the local coffee shop or gymnasium. We've designed something with very long legs on it. So we've really designed this to be recession-proof, something that nice-to-haves and things that are exciting for the marketing team aren't going to get done. Something with soft capex, cheaper to install and operate, and also get around some cases the union issues around making staff carry more hardware. These are the real operational things that can get in the way of innovation. Sometimes you have bits of a rail operator that will not take any changes. And this is, you know, unlike where Oyster's been very good in a high-density urban environment of London, this is designed very much to be easier to put a business case around for a wide network. So we've turned the capex upside down. Instead of starting out with a massive investment on gates and scanners and handheld devices everywhere on the network so that you can interrogate these blank pieces of plastic, you start with visual inspection. You can do occasional checks with an SMS and then have a few hand scanners, 5, 10, shared around your staff. Somebody will use it for a day or stand at the station and check everyone out that day and then hand it to another member of staff. It's a deterrent level. You only put the full-time gates and scanners on those routes to see volume. You might find that you get some rural areas, you always leave without hardware. Maybe somebody turns up once a month with one, or the guard will just check the two people who try using this with an SMS. It's something which you can roll out very quickly and cheaply. One of the things that the early systems found, though, was it wasn't ready for mass transit. You had to hit this quarter of a second through the gate if you were going to be doing this at rush hour at King's Cross. And this is where we had to work very heavily with the scanning manufacturers to hit this quarter second. Unfortunately, I haven't got very good sound. But essentially, what we managed to do was take an old-fashioned technology and get it to quarter of a second on gates, on hand scanners, and mean that we can get people through a gate compatibly with mag stripes and everything else, even at a rush hour station. This is now built into gates by Cubic. You can also get Scheidt and Bachmann gates and other things with barcode scanners on them. These are now from mainstream manufacturers. So, as I said, Cubic, Scheidt and Bachmann, we're not asking people to take prototype equipment. This is something you can now get from the big suppliers. Everything we do with Atos Origin and Trainline. These are the existing suppliers to the industry, accredited, trusted. They're not being asked to buy things from a small company. It's an open standard that lots of people can use. So, visual ticket. It really comes down to, aren't they going to fake it? How does a guard know without a piece of hardware? So we're going for something where we have cryptographically morphing colours, which the guard can check against their own application to make sure that the ticket is valid today, isn't just a screen grab. Also, we're getting customers, when they first get a ticket in a black and white state, they have to activate it to show it to a guard or a gate, and then it deactivates itself at the end of the day. So your monthly open return, you can only use on one day and show it to a guard on one day, and then it will wipe itself out at the end back to black and white. And it means that the guards don't have to grab your phone and punch it, because we found in testing that people didn't like that. So the customers are punching their own tickets, and that suddenly takes a bit of work out. But unlike every other ticket punching we've ever seen, we can now find out when people use their tickets and get that information back, begin really tracking what time of day the customer really travelled. Even if they never saw a gate, we can get that information back and start finding out more about what's going on. And we're looking at bringing this to season products as well, so we can begin to figure out, you know, how are people using the season product? For most people, is a season product actually working financially if they only use it 3 days a week? Is another product going to get more people on the rails? Making it look the same way on all the phones so that the guards don't have to be retrained. Make sure it hits that quarter of a second. Give the customer raw info. Restrictions may apply is not enough. You've got to tell them far more about what is on the train, which train you're booked onto, what you can do with it. Now, contactless and NFC. For us, really, the whole process of selling someone a ticket, giving them live information, taking a real credit card is going to be the same, whatever the ticket is. Having a visual ticket that the customer can read so he knows what he's got. He doesn't have to have a printout of paper to go with his smart card. The phone can do all of that. At the very end of it, the machine-readable piece, which can be a barcode or an NFC entitlement. It doesn't make much difference to the travelling public, whether it's using their smartphone or not. We can use it if it works. We can also use this to send a remote action list item to go to a traditional smart card. But we're looking quite excitedly at what can be done with open payments, where if I've sold you a long-distance ticket from Edinburgh to an underground stop, I don't have to give you a smart card. I could just use your existing open payments card or its equivalent as a reference, as long as I talked by the end of the day to Transport for London to tell them this card shouldn't be charged the full amount, I'm settling for a smaller amount. So we join up long distance and short distance without saying that the long distance guards have to go online to talk to the TfL system, because that wouldn't work, without saying that everybody in TfL has to fit optical scanners. It's a good trade-off. But one of our issues about NFC at the moment is, with all the best will in the world, it's still slower, more expensive, and less available. NFC speed on the phones is still, the target speed for high-speed mass transit is quarter of a second at the gate line. It's acceptable up to about half a second at a gate line. Slower than that, you get people walking into the back of you. We've got barcodes a quarter of a second. Smart cards, 300 millis, something like that for MyFair, with a wind behind it. But for NFC on the phones, when they're emulating MyFair, the timings are about 700, 800 milliseconds for most devices at the moment. That's why TfL are a little bit thorny about it. Now, we've managed to, we've got a few different ways of doing NFC at Matabi Towers, and one of them we've managed to get 550 milliseconds. which is getting closer, but we still would have to pay for that. And at the moment, barcode is a way to definitely work on more handsets. So, yeah, as I mentioned, we can use open payments and the cards as a reference. So, back to what Masabi does, which I haven't really mentioned, is we do make the ticketing applications for people with live timetables, live disruption, on handset purchase. We make sure it's less complicated than web. Timings back from some of our customers have shown that it's twice as quick to book on the phone than it is to book on the web. And customers have noticed this. Simple is hard to do, especially with UK Rail pricing complexity. Really make it fast. Make it great on the smartphones, but also on the feature phones. There's a lot of them out there. iPhone is 8, 10, 10% of the market. There's a lot of other people out there as well who are on trains. I think iPhone is mainly a London thing in some ways. So we make it nice on the iPhone, Android phone, Nokia phones, Sony Ericsson phones, all the others. Customers have got really excited. And as we were saying in the previous session about fun really makes a difference. And we've managed to make this so interesting. People who are currently twittering about Justin Bieber actually twitter about how excited they are about live timetables on a mobile application and tell their friends to use it. And that's really weird. You know, people twittering positively about something that's been added by the local rail company. You know, I'm so happy that Hull Trains has just launched this new thing. That's amazing, I'm telling my friends. I can sit there in the train and see the little ball going down the line and see where we are and where the disruptions are. People are interacting with this application 20 times a day because they're feeling empowered about what's going on. It was iPhone app of the week, that sort of thing. And once you've got people using this smart wake-upable ticket, it's the first kind of ticket that can wake up in your pocket and tell you something. Midjourney tell you about disruptions. Midjourney tell you you're heading into St. Pancras, one of the nicest new shopping malls in the country. We can find other ways to help that customer throughout because we know a lot about their journey, when they travel, what we can do to help them, and we can actually start to make this channel work harder. And this is a common theme that has happened in airline, that if you run an airline like EasyJet, you make most of your profit on the other things. You don't make much profit on the airline tickets, none at all. Rail companies are starting to look more closely at this, and the mobile is the only ticket that can wake up in your pocket and do stuff to you mid-journey. The smart card can't, and the old Magstripe ticket definitely can't. Final plug, just for Masabi, is we've been around for 10 years in mobile. As well as doing mobile applications, we do work on the standards and we do work supporting people on the consultancy around rolling out new ticketing. We're available for that. We won awards for our PCI DSS compliant security, and we'd love to help you if you want to look at rolling out e-ticketing, but we're not the only provider of it, and I think that's healthy in the industry because it means you're not trapped into one provider. I'm going to leave you with a thought, though, and this isn't Masabi's policy and this isn't everything that we're all about, but it's just a thought about what is it we're trying to achieve with e-ticketing and why. For me, it's, you know, for the rail companies, it's got to be business case. For the customers, it's got to be doing something about the queues. That's really what we're trying to achieve. It shouldn't be about which technology we use. At the moment, we're looking at, for UK Rail, 10 years before we have a smart card system on every rail franchise, something like that. Estimated costs for the rail industry around £1 billion. Because that has to be mandated, it's generally coming as a really big part of what that financial contribution is from the government to that TOC, or a reduction in the premiums paid by the TOC. With no mandates, in the year we've just run, we've got half the rail companies in the UK signed up to mobile retail. Half. In the middle of their franchise. This is no change to how much they're paying the government or being paid by the government. In the year that follows, in 1 year, we could have all of the rail companies in the position to do integrated e-ticketing. So let's have a think. What are we trying to achieve in delivering e-ticketing on rail? I'm just saying, we can do it 10 times faster for no money. And the nice thing is, all of those, half the industry who's now signing up to do this, are not doing it because they've been forced. They're doing it because they see the commercial merit in it. They don't need to be forced. And it's just a thought. But for us, ITSO is another way to deliver a ticket, and we're very happy to support it. But it's a tough fit financially for rail. Okay.
Thank you.
Right, there we go.